The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Christy Walters for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Read to Succeed. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several different books. Today's first book is titled Stella Finds Her Place. It's written by Morgan Mize and illustrated by Ken High. In the small town of Cary, North Carolina, is a little girl by the name of Stella. Stella is creative and playful. She likes to read unicorn books and draw magical fairies. She likes to go down the slides and play jump rope on the playground. Stella likes to do all the same things as the other kids, but they do not treat her the same. Stella has a disability. To move around, she uses leg braces and walking sticks called forearm crutches. Some kids at school and on the playground are nice to Stella, though some kids act scared and leave her out of their games. The one thing Stella wants more than anything is to be treated the same and to feel like she belongs. After a long week at school, Stella is anticipating a fun-filled day with her mom. Saturday is her birthday. When the big day arrives, they visit first the Cary Downtown Farmers Market to pick up squash, tomatoes, and zucchini. Next stop is the Cary Art Center for a painting class. Stella and her mom paint an enchanted unicorn. It even wears a party hat to celebrate Stella. As Stella and her mom walk back to the car, Stella's mom surprises her with one last stop. "Where are we going, Mommy?" asks Stella. "I want to show you a magical place where special people like you are celebrated," Stella's mom replies. Stella's tummy flutters in excitement at what she might discover inside the little cottage nestled among the greenery in front of them. As Stella enters a steamed coffee, she stands in amazement as feelings of magic are in the air. She hears laughter and happiness. She smells a sweet aroma. She sees all kinds of people enjoying their drinks and snacks while working and chatting. "Welcome," says the nice volunteer and their guide. "Have you been here before?" Stella replies, "No, my mommy brought me here for my birthday today." "Oh, my, happy birthday," they say enthusiastically. As Stella and her mom walk up to order, they are greeted once again. "Hello," says the cashier. "I heard it is your birthday. Would you like to try our birthday drink special? It has chocolate and peppermint. You can even get it with whipped cream and sprinkles." "Oh, yes, please," says Stella, and her mom nods in approval. "Sure thing," replies the cashier. After receiving her sweet drink, the barista leads the shop in singing "Happy Birthday." Stella's eyes widen as she joyfully sways and bobs along. Afterwards, the barista offers a tour of the coffee shop. They show her the artwork displayed on the walls and shelves, and even mention that people just like her are the creators. Smiling from ear to ear, Stella stands in astonishment. She can see that the people who work here are just like her. They are happy, and everyone likes them just the way they are. Stella feels as though she is inside one of the fairy tale stories her mom reads to her at night. Continuing to browse around the shop, Stella notices a shirt with the words Dream Big. Mommy, do you think if I wish for more places like Esteemed, it will come true? Exclaims Stella. Yes, says Stella's mom. Maybe you can even work at a place like this one day. The volunteer organizing the display shares that the shirt was designed by one of the employees. Stella's mom helps her pick out the correct size. Then they head back to make their final purchase and to say their final goodbyes. On the way home that afternoon, Stella talks and talks about the fun days she had with her mom. That night, Stella and her mom make her favorite dish with the veggies they bought at the Cary Downtown Farmers Market. While cooking, they make plans to visit Esteemed Coffee again. After dinner, it is time for cake and ice cream. As Stella blows out her birthday candles, she makes a wish that more places would be just as magical as Esteemed Coffee. Today's next book is titled Save the Day by Danny Neely, illustrated by Chris Jones. The cat needs help. Meow. Time to save the cat. The bird needs help. Tweet, 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 tweet. Time to save the bird. The duck needs help. Time to save the duck. The zoo needs help. Oh, there's a lion roaring. Time to save the zoo. The town needs help. Time to save the town. One of the kids saving the towns is in a wheelchair, but they still have the powers to help the town and the animals and the whole neighborhood. Our next book is called What Makes Us Unique, written by Dr. Jillian Roberts and illustrated by Cindy Revell. In nature, a rainbow is made beautiful by its different colors. And just like that rainbow, the world is made beautiful because it's filled with many different kinds of people. What makes us different? People are different or unique in many ways. Some of these differences are things we can see on the outside. People have different eye colors. They have different hair colors. They have different skin colors. People come in many different shapes and sizes, too. They can be tall or short, big or small. People also move, learn, and communicate in different ways. Some people use a wheelchair to get around. Some people need a guide dog to be their eyes and ears. Some people talk to each other using sign language. Other differences are harder to see because they are on the inside. For instance, some people feel more comfortable alone or in small groups, while others like to be in big crowds. We should always try to understand and respect people's different ways of being in the world. What about different cultures? Culture is a word we use to describe the shared attitudes, practices, and beliefs of a certain group of people. Because there are many different cultures around the world, people speak different languages and practice different religions. They also participate in different kinds of traditions and celebrations. What about differences at home? People have different kinds of families. Some families have both a mom and a dad. Others have one mom or dad, or two moms or dads. Some children may be raised by a grandparent, step-parent, or other loving caretaker. Some families live together, and others live in separate homes. Are there other kinds of differences? Yes, many. People have different kinds of jobs. People live in different kinds of homes and wear different kinds of clothes. People eat different kinds of food and take part in different activities or hobbies. There are also different ways people show love and take care of each other. What do these differences mean? Because each of us is unique, we may not always agree with or understand someone else's beliefs or choices. We may not like to dress the same way, eat the same food, or take part in the same kinds of activities. Even though there are things that make each of us different, we are all equally important. We all deserve love, respect, and compassion, regardless of what we look like or how we live our lives. The truth is, we are much more alike than we are different. We all want to learn. We all want to laugh and grow and explore. We all want to spend time with our families, be loved, and make friends. We all want to be treated nicely by the people around us. The world becomes a much more beautiful place when we celebrate what we have in common. And what makes us unique? Our next book may be of particular interest to our listeners. It's called My City Speaks by Darren LaBeouf and Ashley Barron. This is our city. But this is my city. My city moves. It rushes and stops and waits and goes. My city opens and shuts. It buzzes and tweets and flocks. My city grows. My city is busy and relaxed. My city plays and works. It walks and runs and climbs and slides. Sometimes it's smelly. Sometimes it's sweet. It pitters and patters and drips and drains. It dings and dongs and rattles and roars. My city speaks with whispers and giggles and sometimes meows. My city also speaks with hasty honks, impatient beeps, distant chimes, reliable rumbles, speedy sirens, and urgent clangs. My city speaks, and sometimes it just listens. I wonder what my city will say tomorrow. Now, what might be particularly interesting to our listeners about this book is that the narrator talking about her city was a young girl who is visually impaired and uses a cane to walk throughout her city. So as she described what her city was like, she was doing so as a visually impaired person, doing things like crossing major traffic, being near construction zones, visiting a city park and playing with dogs, being on the playground, walking by a trash can, getting ice cream, and walking in the rain. Our next book is titled Spork by Kyle McClear and Isabel Arsenal. Spork was neither spoon nor fork, but a bit of both. He had a mum and a dad who both thought he was perfect just the way he was. But Spork stuck out. In his kitchen, forks were forks and spoons were spoons. Cutlery customs were followed closely. Mixing was uncommon. Naturally, there were rule breakers, knives who loved chopsticks, tongs who married forks, but such families were unusual. One day, after the billionth time he was asked, "What are you anyway?" and the zillionth time he was passed over when the table was being set, Spork sighed and thought, it must be easier to be a single thing. And he decided he'd try to pick just one thing to be. He thought he should start by fixing his head. He put on a bowler hat. to look more spoonish, but the Forks thought he was too round. Then he made a paper crown to look more forkish, but the Spoons thought he was too pointy. Spork wondered if there were other lonely creatures out there with no matching kind who never got chosen to be at the table. At dinner time, he watched from the drawer while the Spoons played pea hockey and skillfully balanced boiled eggs. He sat off to the side while the Forks raked fancy patterns in the mashed potatoes and twirled noodles around in complicated circles like rhythmic gymnasts. And at the end of this and every other meal, Spork looked on while the others enjoyed a super bubbly bath in the sink. Until one morning, a messy thing arrived. This messy thing had obviously never heard of cutlery customs or table manners. Nope, this messy thing smeared and spilled and flung and clumped and dripped without a care. "Wait," said the Forks, but the messy thing did not wait. "Careful," said the Spoons, but the messy thing was not careful. "Help," said the Forks, while the messy thing continued to slop and splatter. "Quick," said the Spoons. Now, a fork may be good for poking and picking, and a spoon may be fine for scooping and stirring. But this messy thing, with its slurpy and clumpy half-finished food bits, needed something else. Something that could do all sorts of things at once. Something flexible and easy to hold. Something that was neither spoon nor fork, but a bit of both. That's when Spork landed. The messy thing saw Spork and immediately stopped and gurgled. It grabbed Spork and held him motionless in its fist. It tapped him once and let out a cheerful shriek. It wagged Spork excitedly up and down. And that's how Spork finally and happily found his way to the table. Just a bit round, just a bit pointy, just right. Our next book is titled Ian's Walk, by Laurie Lears, with illustrations by Karen Ritz. It's the perfect day to go to the park and feed the ducks with my big sister, Tara. Except my brother wants to come along, too. "Aw, Ian, why don't you stay here?" I say. Ian doesn't answer me, though, because he has autism. But he wraps his fingers hard against the screen and begins to whine. "Oh, all right, Ian," I say. "Can he come?" I ask Mom. Says Mom. "You'll need to watch him closely the whole time. Are you sure you want to do that?" "It's okay with me," I answered, and Tara nods. "You hold his hand, though, Julie," she tells me. Ian's brain doesn't work like other people's. Ian sees things differently. When we pass Nan's diner, Ian steps inside to watch the ceiling fan move in slow circles. He doesn't look at the waitresses hurrying by with all kinds of sandwiches and ice cream. "Let's get a soda," I say, but Ian keeps his eyes on the fan until I pull him out the door. Ian hears things differently. When a fire truck rushes by with its siren wailing and horn blaring, Ian hardly seems to notice. But he tilts his head sideways and seems to be listening to something I cannot hear. "Hurry up," I say, tugging his arm. Ian smells things differently. At Mrs. Potter's flower stand, I hold a bouquet of sweet-smelling lilacs up to Ian's face. Ian wrinkles his nose and turns away. But when we go by the post office, Ian puts his nose against the warm, gritty bricks and sniffs the wall. "Stop that," I say. "You look silly." And I yank him away before anyone notices. Ian feels things differently. At the pond, I pick up a soft feather and tickle Ian under his chin. He shrieks and pushes it away. But while Tara and I toss cereal to the ducks, Ian lies on the ground with his cheek pressed against the hard stones. "Get up, Ian," I say, taking his hand. "Someone might step on you." Ian tastes things differently. When we go past the food booths, Ian won't even look at the pizza, hot dogs, or soft pretzels. But he reaches into my pocket for the bag of leftover cereal. Tara and I don't want to eat cereal for lunch, I tell him. Come with us while we buy some pizza. But Ian won't budge. He munches the Power Pops one by one. Sometimes Ian makes me angry. I'll get the pizza, says Tara. You stay here with Ian, Julie. I sit down on the bench to wait. Sit beside me, Ian, I say, but Ian flaps his hands and pays no attention. At last, Tara comes back carrying two slices of gooey pizza. Where's Ian? She asks. I look at the spot where Ian was standing, but Ian is gone. My stomach does a flip-flop, and for a moment, I can't move. Tara runs up to a lady. Have you seen a little boy in a blue shirt? She cries. The lady shakes her head. Perhaps he's watching the baseball game across the park, she suggests. But Ian does not like baseball. A man walks by with a little girl on his shoulders. Have you seen a boy who looks lost? I say with a lump in my throat. No, says the man, but we're on our way to hear the storyteller. Maybe he's there listening to stories. But Ian doesn't like stories. Tara rushes off to look for Ian. I squeeze my eyes shut and try to think like Ian. Ian likes the balloon stand where the big machine hisses and stretches balloons into colorful, bobbing shapes. He likes the water fountain where he can put his face up close and watch the stream of water gush past his eyes. Suddenly, the old bell in the center of the park begins to ring. Bong, bong, bong. And then I remember Ian loves the bell best of all. I run full speed towards the bell, and there's Ian. He is lying under the bell, making the big gong move back and forth. I hug him tightly, even though he doesn't care for hugs. I see Tara near the swings and call to her. She rushes over, all out of breath, and puts her arm around us. We'll walk home the way you like, I tell Ian. We stop at the pond and let Ian play with the stones. He lines them up in a straight row along the edge of the walkway. I stand in front of him so no one steps on his fingers. We walk right past Mrs. Potter's flower stand and stop at the post office instead. Ian sniffs the bricks he wants, and I don't care who's watching. When Ian pauses at the corner and seems to be listening to something I cannot hear, we wait patiently, and I try to listen too. At Nan's diner, Ian and I watch the fan until I'm dizzy. When we finally get home, I say, it was a good walk, Ian. And just for a flash, Ian looks at me and smiles. Our final book is titled All Birds Have Anxiety by Kathy Hoopman. In a perfect world, everyone would cope with life just fine. And no one would be anxious or worried. But the truth is, we do not live in a perfect world, and everyone experiences life in different ways. Some people feel anxious and worried about anything and everything. Of course, everyone feels anxious sometimes, which can be good when you need to take care, or there is danger nearby. Being anxious can also help you hurry when things need to be done. However, some of us are anxious even when we are not in danger, and life seems to be going well. The take care thoughts, the danger warnings, and the hurry urges get out of control and become monsters in our minds. When stress builds up, anything can set off anxiety, such as a change of plan, something new, a comment, a thought, stuff. Even thinking about being anxious can make you anxious. Many people have anxiety, and it often runs in families. First comes an uneasy feeling that grows and grows until you are so scared that you can't move or breathe. Often you don't even know why. Your mouth goes dry. It's hard to swallow, and your stomach hurts. You may get dizzy and sweaty and have headaches. Your heart pounds. Hands and feet can tingle or go numb. Every muscle is tense. It's like being filled with a scream. Anxiety also affects how we think, feel, and act. We are sure that nothing we ever do, say, or try is good enough. Even if we do well, we are certain it was a mistake. When we are overwhelmed and frightened, we see everything that goes wrong and nothing that goes right. Over and over again, we worry about the future and replay the daft things we did in the past, never stopping to enjoy now. There is no off button. Our minds become a fog. We sit and stare with brains like cotton wool and don't know what to do or how to do it. Everyday jobs like combing hair, changing clothes, or making decisions are too much to think about. To make things worse, we don't sleep well. We lie there knowing we have to sleep. Then we worry that we can't sleep, which stops us from sleeping. Ugh! Wide awake thoughts churn in our minds. All that makes us completely exhausted. Other times we may panic. Calm down, people say. Things aren't that bad. But they don't understand that when fear grips your brain, it takes over your body, and you will do anything to get to safety. Anxiety can make us hyper aware of what needs to be done now. It's worse when people say, "Why don't you just start?" We know we need to start, but we don't know how. So days can go by when nothing gets done and our jobs pile up around us. Anxiety is much worse when we can't control what happens. Therefore, we try to order our lives and those around us to avoid surprises. Some of us do the same things in the same way, which makes us feel safe. Sadly, we can't control everything all the time, so we constantly struggle to cope when life changes. Sometimes friends say, "Let's go for a walk, it'll do you good." And it does make us feel better, but no one realizes how hard it is to leave the safety of home if you are aware of every possible thing that can go wrong. Even if we want company, the thought of being in a crowd fills us with fear. We have no idea what to say, where to go, or how to behave. We are worried that others will watch everything we do and judge us. Sometimes we are so tense that we can snap at others. Often we go by ourselves, cancel plans, leave early, or just don't turn up. It's hard for those around us when we act like that, and we are very sorry. We never meant to upset anybody. We have run out of time today for today's episode of Free to Succeed. We hope you enjoy listening. Please join us next time. I'm Christy Walters, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Visit ncreadingservice.org for more information about NCRS. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.